All rise. You must respect the bell. That's right. Final segment of Crunch Time on a Wednesday means it's time for the Crunch Exchange. I'm going to bring up some stories from around the world of sports. I'm Alex. Steve's going to tell us if he's buying or selling the prospectus from those stories. And I'm going to try to do this while the A's are playing the Mariners behind me. Somebody just give me the bad news when it happens, because the Mariners are leading.
One out, one
on.
I got
you, homie. Steve, you need to listen. I'll watch the game.
I'm gonna
do both.
I'm going to start off with that because I got a lot of numbers in here that rely on this game not being finished yet, so let's go right there.
All right.
The A's just took two games from the Mariners in that hotly contested AL West. Oakland now sits one game back of the Astros for the division lead, 3.5 games ahead of the Mariners for the AL wild card. It's weird to say, but the Astros have lost 5 in a row. The A's have won 4. Make it 5, please. But Houston has been dealing with injuries to most of their stars and are about to get back to full strength. Carlos Correa has been back. Jose Altuve reportedly returning to the cage, so he'll be back soon. We keep waiting for the A's to falter, but they just kind of haven't yet. And they just solidified their pitching staff. Mike Fiers, Jairus Familia, Fernando Rodney. So the prospectus, Oakland will eventually take the AL West.
Wow. The thing with Altuve, they're talking about him back before the end of August. That could be another 2 weeks. Colors, September. Springer, they think, will be ready for the A's series this weekend. And Verlander, after being completely dominant, got beat up by the Mariners last time out and was good, not great last night, although you know how good he is. He had 11 strikeouts over 6 innings, and I'm calling it an average performance. I think the dust settles. I think Houston eventually wins the West, so I'm going to sell that.
I feel like you were prolonging that to see if the Mariners could get the last out here. truly horrible situation at Maryland with their football program. Jordan McNair was 19 at the time, showed clear signs of heat stroke during a practice, which were ignored until he passed out. Then training staff waited over an hour to call an ambulance. When he finally did arrive at the hospital, had to have a kidney transplant, eventually died. Their AD and school president sort of accepted responsibility. They also forced out the strength coach, Rick Court, and their head coach DJ Durkin is on administrative leave. It has since been brought to light that his program relies heavily on belittlement and intimidation, including making overweight players eat to the point of vomiting in front of their teammates, making fun of players who can't lift a weight, which includes a player who passed out from it. So where is the line between normal football workouts and criminal negligence? Is this it? The prospectus, DJ Durkin should not only lose his job, but should be tried for a crime.
I'm a great believer that we've reached the point where somebody's got to go to jail. If it's not the coach who wasn't there, maybe the athletic trainer. How, in this day and age, with grown-ups and professionals, is not your first instinct, well, let's call 911 and, you know, if all is well, maybe he'll be okay by the time they get here. So I don't know if Durkin needs to face criminal charges, but there is criminal negligence. So somebody's got to be held more accountable than their job here. So I'm going to buy that.
By the way, the A's just lost.
Edwin Diaz closes the door. That's that.
All right, you can get one, Mariners. JD Martinez has been phenomenal this season, Steve. 37 home runs, 104 RBI, hitting .333. If Mookie Betts weren't as good as he is, Martinez would likely take the triple crown this year, but Mookie's hitting .350 to lead the bigs. CBS Sports put together his stats over the last 365 days, and in 153 games, Martinez has 59 homers, a .333 average, and is slugging .707, on pace this year to hit over .330 and 50 home runs. That would join him with Mickey Mantle, Jimmy Fox, Hack Wilson, and Babe Ruth as the only players to ever do that in a season. Mantle the last to do it in 1956.
So triple crown year.
Pretty simple. Prospectus, JD Martinez, this year's MVP.
Lock it in. Easy. Buy it. If you could buy it twice, buy it.
Scott Frost in the news this week. He said the rest of the Big Ten better enjoy this year because he's going to have Nebraska humming back in the national title race very soon. Tom Osborne quoted as saying Frost himself saved Nebraska's sellout streak, which sits at 361 straight home games, dates back to 1962. Osborne says after the 4-8 season last year, it likely would have ended this season. Frost has a solid track record, both Oregon and UCF, which we know about, but are you buying the hype? Prospectus, Frost will have Nebraska back in the natty hunt next season.
Next year? That's ridiculous. Are you kidding me?
Not this season.
I understand.
Season.
They won 4 games. I like Scott Frost a lot, and winning the American Athletic Conference with UCF is a little different than dealing with Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Michigan, Michigan State.
Is it, though?
The natty hunt. I'll tell you what. If he even has them in the division hunt next year, I'll be impressed. But for now, no sale.
Carmelo Anthony, now a Houston Rocket for basically nothing. We've seen that his addition actually lowers their odds of them winning a national or a NBA title. But in Houston, he's now rejoined with head coach Mike D'Antoni, with whom he played in New York to mixed results. He actually sort of forced D'Antoni out by giving the Knicks an ultimatum. It's him or me. And they chose Melo. Since then, Melo has floundered. D'Antoni led Houston to the best regular season record in the NBA last year. D'Antoni says it's a better fit now and that he won't have a problem coaching Melo. All right. The prospectus, you buy or sell Melo in Houston, is a better fit than Melo in New York with D'Antoni.
Well, it was a horrible fit in New York. I don't know that it could
like
have
it
been
could only be better?
Much worse. And I have a feeling that Mr. Anthony is going to have to come to the reality that he's a bench guy now and a role player and a third option.
Good luck with that.
So just by accident, it's a better fit in Houston because it's an actual team, not that thing they made me watch for 2 years in the Big Apple. So, yeah, I'm going to buy that.
To the NFL, Terrell Pryor opened up with reporters the other day about why he needed ankle surgery in the offseason. It had previously been reported as a routine cleanup following surgery for a ligament repair in November, but he said the other day that it was actually because he fractured the ankle and how thankful he is to be able to practice right now. Also told reporters he had minor hip injury that won't allow him to play against Washington. And that pissed off his head coach, Todd Bowles, who said Pryor should keep his mouth shut and leave the injuries to him. But, you know, it's his body, so why would he lie about a surgery when he's fighting to recover from it? Then again, there's value to keeping stuff in-house. So the prospectus, Terrell Pryor should shut up about injuries if his boss tells him to.
Well, if his boss is Chip Kelly.
Right.
Anyway, believe it or not, he was in the 2011 draft. I feel like that went fast. He was the quarterback against Oregon in
yes,
the 2010.
Juked out Rose Kenny Bowl. Rowe. I remember that.
If the coach says, first of all, I disagree. But if the coach says don't talk about injuries, you really shouldn't. So while I'm kind of like with you, I'm the one who was injured. They asked a question, I gave an honest answer, and I'm not sure if Bowles kind of is trying to grandfather in the don't talk about injuries.
Especially in the NFL when you have to provide an injury report and you can't lie about injuries, essentially.
Right. So while the coach makes the final decision, it's like all I did was tell him what really happened physically. So the prospectus was Pryor should not have said
he should shut up about injuries if his boss tells him to.
I gotta buy that, begrudgingly.
Joint practices going on all around the NFL right now, and it has again led to fights. A few days ago, Washington and the Jets got into a scuffle. Today, DeAndre Hopkins got kicked out of practice between the Titans and 49ers because he got into it with Jimmy Ward. The idea of joint practice is to get some run against a different face for once in the month or so leading up to the season, but there are also preseason games that serve that purpose, so are the practices really necessary? The prospectus, the NFL should quit doing joint practices.
Well, in Colorado, Oregon, and Washington, it's legal. So I think it's contingent on which state it's in.
Let me remind you that it's a violation of league substance abuse policy.
I understand. Yeah, yeah. But I don't know if it just seems that these fights have escalated this year. I mean, was it the Jets and Washington?
Yeah.
Recently? I mean, like, fights. It's an exhibition game. You people are idiots.
It's a practice, too.
And yet, do you really need another team to practice? It just seems like it's heading down a bad path. So I actually think Outlaw, I don't know how much good they do. So yeah, buy that one. All right.